Today on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, we'll learn that confidence comes from knowing who God has called us to be and who He has called us to become.
David knew that God had anointing, a call about his life, and he behaved that way, and he pursued God, and he would say, God, is this what I should be doing? Because he knew that his life was meant for something bigger.
Welcome to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Well, here at Bold Steps Weekend, we're excited to offer an expanding library of Mark's messages online, along with a range of resources aimed at assisting you in discovering your life's passion and calling. We encourage you to visit our website and explore it today. Simply click on the Bold Action Resources tab at boldstepsweekend.org. Now, today we're learning how to rise in order to live our best life yet. And so we're turning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30 as Mark continues his message, Confidence. Let's join him.
Your purpose is dictated to you by God. That if you really want to discover the purpose for your life, you need to become more spiritual. You say, well, I don't know my purpose. I just need to get smarter. Well, I know a lot of intellectual people that don't have a sense of purpose in their life. I know people with all kinds of degrees that are as aimless as people without degrees. You see, it's not a matter of education. It's a matter of really understanding who you are in God. It's a matter of getting your life centered. It's a matter of discovering how God has wired you. It's a matter of embracing the purposes of God for you. It's a matter of cranking up your level of spirituality and your sensitivity to God. It's a matter of allowing that inner man, that spiritual man that God has created you to be awakened and revived. Here's the thing, guys. Let me tell you, here's the thing. Once it's awakened and revived, you're never going to be content going back to who you were. It'll create a holy discontent within your soul. It'll create an uneasiness about life. It'll trigger a desire to get involved, to make a difference. It'll not let you be apathetic anymore. You can't walk past the problems of society anymore and just shrug your shoulders like, it's not my business. I have no... You will walk different. You will think different. You will behave different because now you're a man with a call, a purpose, a destiny, a plan. Now you're a man that's on a mission from God, a man that's been wired with a purpose, a man that has the design of God imprinted on his soul and in his heart, and that he knows within his soul that God has created him for a time such as this, and a purpose that is bigger than just the mundane. David was a man that walked with such a call, not just on this mission, but he knew that God had anointing, a call about his life, and he behaved that way, and he pursued God, and he would say, God, is this what I should be doing? Because he knew that his life was meant for something bigger, something more. And I hope, by the way, parents, that you're instilling that into the hearts and spirits of your children. I hope that they're learning from a young age that God has a plan and a destiny for them. I hope that you're instilling that inside of them, helping them grow and understand and know that God can use them and that they are difference makers. I have a quote from General Douglas MacArthur, who years ago wrote this: people grow old by deserting their ideas. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up interest wrinkles the soul. You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubts, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fears, as young as your hope, and as old as your despair. You see, I run into people that have stopped dreaming. They've stopped believing. They're just surviving. But I believe that confidence comes from pursuing the heart of God, and then it comes when we begin to develop a clearer mission and focus of what God has called us to be and who God has called us to become. The other thing that I see about David and about confidence is, so confidence has to do with our relationship with God, how we pursue God, but it also has to do with our relationship to the mission and the plan for our life. And thirdly, It also has to do by the way we see ourselves around others as well. Notice, I love this story. David goes and pursues these men that have taken his wife, the Amalekites who have taken his wives and children and sons and daughters. And they start out by being 600. And as they're traveling, they're exhausted. And so 200 of David's army says, "We can't go on. We can't continue. Go ahead without us." And so David says, "Okay, stay back here and take care of the supplies." And he moves on. Well, they catch up to the Amalekites and they slaughter them. They're outnumbered, but God is with them. And they slaughter them. They get back their wives, their children, all their belongings. They have a resounding victory because the hand of God was on them. And they're cheering and celebrating and rejoicing. And on their way back, the 400 warriors that have battled so hard meet the 200 that couldn't make it and were exhausted. And they say to David, "Hey, what about these chumps?" And they're not going to get the spoil, are they? "We did all the work. You coward, lazy weaklings." And I love David's response. You see, look what he says in verse 23. David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with the what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed us over the forces that came against us." Notice this, David says, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us." You see, here's what happens. If you start thinking that anything that you have done is about you and your personality and your gifting and your wiring, and if you're insecure and not confident, then you will not want to share very much with others because you think, "I deserve it and I'm keeping it all." Notice, David said, "It's the Lord that gave us the victory." He gave honor and credit to God. "It's the Lord who has given us the victory." Hey, who was doing all the work? The soldiers, but it was the Lord who gave them the victory. You see, every victory in life, when you include the power of God, you better be sure to give God the honor and glory. You better be sure that you make God, give God the credit that He deserves. You say, "Well, look at me, Pastor. I mean, I came out of nothing. My story's a story of rags to riches. Look at me. I was so poor. Everybody has good poor stories, right? I was so poor, I couldn't even, you know, I used to put bread on bread, and that was my sandwich. And, you know, we were so poor, you know, it was really hard to even get a cup of water." And, you know, everybody has their poor stories. And look at what's happened now. And look at how I have prospered. Listen to me. Deuteronomy 6 says, it is God who gives you the ability to make wealth. So you better honor God. Because listen to me well. He can give it to you. He could take it away just as fast as He's given it to you. In Deuteronomy it says, and as you prosper, and as you get houses, and as your grain sheds increase, and as you prosper materially, do not forget the Lord your God, for it's He who gives you the ability to make money. Don't forget God. If you've prospered in God, and think, you better say, and thanks be to God who's given me this ability to prosper. And if your family's doing well and you have a good marriage, you better say, and thanks be to God who's given me the grace to do well in my family and with my children. And if you graduated with a BA degree and you've done well in school and you're in honors, and you better say, it took a lot of hard work, but thanks be to God who gave me the intellectual power and stamina and strength to be able to study hard. And if you have ascended in your job and climbed the ladder of corporate success, and now you're one of the top executives or vice presidents, or you're the boss at your work, you better say, hey, yeah, I know it took a lot of hard work, and I know it took a lot of perseverance, but you better say, and thanks be to God who gave me the ability to get up and work, and the intelligence and the perseverance to be able to make it. Thank you, God. Because the very first thing, absolutely, because the very first thing, yeah. Let me tell you, the very first sign of a spiral downward is a heart of ingratitude, or someone that takes all the credit upon themselves. David fought the battle. He had a sword in his hand. He led the troops. He could have said, hey guys, good thing you followed me. Stick with me, I'll take you places. Yeah, these guys that stayed behind, hey, you didn't do any work. We deserve the credit. But you know what? He gave the credit to God. And he said, God has given us the victory. Let me tell you, it's the same at your job, your work, your family. It's the same in politics. It's the same wherever. Listen, it's the same in church. We are the people of God. And when God does a work amongst us, he gets the credit and the glory and the honor. Amen.
You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Job, and today's message will continue in just a moment. But real quick, we want to remind you that if you ever miss our teaching on the radio, or you simply want to share one of these messages with a friend, you can always find Mark's teaching available on our website at boldstepsweekend.org. And if you'd enjoy listening to these Bible teachings while you're out for a walk or really anywhere on the go, be sure to subscribe to the Bold Steps Weekend podcast. You'll find us on most podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Audible by searching for Bold Steps Weekend with Dr. Mark Job. We've heard from so many of you how much you enjoy listening through your podcast app. And if you haven't already, we encourage you to leave a comment or a 5-star review when you're there. And of course, we also want to connect with you on social media, so be sure to subscribe to our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel by searching for Bold Steps Radio. Let's get back into the second half of today's message now. Once again, here's Mark Job.
And so every step of the way, we need to stop to say, thank you, God, that you have allowed us to open up these doors. Thank you, God, that you're giving us opportunities. Thank you, Lord, that you're providing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because without your hand, nothing could be changed, God. Thank you, Father. You know, once in a while I'll have someone that's maybe a new believer and they don't quite understand the lingo. They'll say, oh, thank you, Pastor, you saved me. And listen, I don't save anybody. I can't even save myself. So they don't really thank me for saving. I don't save anybody. I'm a sinner that was lost, that needs the grace of God every day and the power of Jesus every day and the forgiveness of God every day. And I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace only through the free gift of Jesus Christ. I don't change anybody, save anybody, transform anybody. I'm just a sinner that opens up his mouth because he knows how good God is, but it's the Spirit of God, it's the work of God, it's the supernatural power of God that changes people and transforms people. And if he can use a donkey to speak, then he can use me to speak as well. But it is God's work, it is God's power, so God receives all the glory, all the credit, and all the honor. Amen? So praise be to the power of God. And David said, no, we're not going to do that because this battle has been given to us by God Almighty. And I love this. A confident person is not afraid to grant mercy and to share. You see, insecure people find it very difficult, a very difficult time granting mercy. These men that came back from the war, these 400 men that had battled, they looked at the 200 men and they didn't want to grant any mercy. But David knew it was God's battle. He was willing to grant mercy. Let me just say this about mercy, by the way. We all need it. And I pray to God that we never be a church, that we never get to a point well, we're not extending grace and mercy to people. Amen? Because we've all needed it at one time. These 200 men that were left behind, they were struggling. They were tired. They were weaker. And the stronger men, in looking at the weaker men, did not want to give them mercy. Because they were weak, they wanted to punish them. But David said, the battle has been God's, and we will honor them, and we will give to them, and we will give them a portion of the spoil, because this is God's victory. Not the strong man's victory versus the weak man. This is God's victory. And I just want to remind us about that as we deal with people that come into the church and people around. Sometimes it's the church has been bad about how we deal with the struggling brother or sister among us. And sometimes our heart, if it's not sensitized to God, when someone struggles or someone falls, it's easy to begin to kick and it's easy to begin to judge rather than extend mercy and help and trying to get someone out of their state of fallenness. And I believe that it's God's call upon our life not to kick people when they're down, but try to extend a hand and say, come on, can we help you up? Because we all of us need mercy. And when I hear a brother or sister that sees another brother or sister that's fallen say, how could they do that? I would never fall. I could never do that. I'm never going to be there. Then I know someone that lacks mercy and grace. Because if your heart is really in the right place, when you see someone else fall or someone else struggle, if you're honest with yourself, what you should be saying is, if it weren't for the grace of God, I also would fall. And if it weren't for God's mercy and God's strength on my life, I know that I could be in the same place that they are. And so, people of God, let's always extend mercy. Let's always show grace. Let's always show grace. That doesn't mean we become a carnal, worldly church. It means we deal with sin and we confront things as they come. But it means we always do it with grace and mercy, knowing that by the grace of God and the mercy of God, we also would be in that same situation. Amen? Amen. And then lastly, not only does a confident person not afraid to grant mercy, but also a confident person is not afraid to honor others. Notice what David said in verse 26. He honored them regardless. He honored the elders of Judah regardless of the opinion of his troops. Now remember, Judah, the people of Israel, were the ones that were chasing after David under King Saul's orders. But yet David, when he arrived back at Ziklag, it says he sent some of the plunders to the elders of Judah who were his friends, saying, here's a present for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies. Let me remind you that we are all building on someone else's shoulders. That none of us are here without the sacrifice or labor or perseverance or prayers of other people. That we are all building on someone else's shoulders that have come ahead of us. So give honor where honor is due. We live in a society, listen, that despises the elderly. In some societies, the elderly are venerated and honored. And when you're elderly, you're looked at with a great sense of respect, and the people go to the elders for wisdom. But we live in an American society where we live in a pragmatic society in which if someone can't produce a lot, then we sort of shove them to the side. We live in a society, I think, that's lost its heart when it comes to the elderly. And oftentimes, elderly people are looked at as a burden and as people that have very little to contribute to society. And I believe that we go back to what Scripture says about elderly, and the Bible says this: honor them. Honor them. Give them due respect. Do you know that in pre-Nazi Germany, Hitler's regime attacked a couple of different people, was adamantly against the Jewish people, was adamantly against the Gypsies, who were sort of a marginalized, displaced people, but was also very against elderly and also had sort of a euthanasia program to eliminate people that he viewed as unproductive to society. David is honoring the elders of Judah that have come before him, building on their shoulders. Listen, sons and daughters, as your parents age and get older, you need to give them honor. Doesn't mean you need to obey them anymore, because when you're a child, you need to obey, but as you get older, you need to give them honor. And if you have an elderly parent that is in a nursing home or a place where someone else is taking care of them, I pray to God that you're visiting them. I pray to God that they know that they're cared for, that you're calling for them. A society that ceases to honor those that have come before is a society that's lost its heart and lost its bearing. And so I want to challenge you. David had enough confidence to honor those that had come before. Although he was young, he did not despise the elderly and what they had done. He built on their shoulders. He honored them. He gave them of his supplies when they had conquered. He let them know, hey, you are important. We're building on your shoulders. I give honor to who honor is due.
Our hope and prayer for you is that you are confident walking with God in His strength today. Thank you, Mark, for that great message from 1 Samuel 30, which concludes our series titled, Rise, Live Your Best Life Yet. So glad you've been with us. Remember, you can revisit today's lesson and others from the series at boldstepsweekend.org. Mark?
Well, Wayne, it's great to have in our studio with us today someone that I've known for a long time. And he was a professor, believe it or not, when I was a student here at Moody Bible Institute. In fact, he was my wife's favorite professor. I don't think I ever had a class with him, but my wife would just come back from the class and said, oh, Dr. Thrasher said this. And so we are so excited to have him here in the studio and to talk about a topic that we talk a lot about, people feel convicted about, guilty about, oftentimes because we know we should do it, but don't really know how to do it that well, and that's prayer. Dr. Thrash, you want to tell us a little bit why you think this is such a struggle for so many people?
Well, you know, I think we ignore the divine help. I can talk maybe another time just about, I'm not talking down at anybody when I title it How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. I'm really talking about my own experience. But there are five commands in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. But the fifth one, I discovered I knew the least about. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, we have a personal assistant. We aren't in this by ourselves. So to open one's life up to the Spirit, my life was changed by that. As a college student, I can talk about that. But also in God's great providence, when I came to Wheaton to teach here, I ended up living there in the Wheaton Towers on the second floor of that 20-story building. But on the 19th floor was Dr. Stephen Olford. And I owe a great debt to him in regard, because he's so wonderfully articulated various themes of the Christian life. And I remember these are the words he used, and I've used them for many years myself. This is something that God commands you to be filled with the Spirit. As strong a command is not to be drunk with wine. And he said, be open to God's Spirit. Are you open to God's Spirit? Fear is usually why we're not. Are you dependent upon God's Spirit? Sort of three stages of the Christian life that Andrew Murray used to say, that first stage is, I can do it. Second stage is, I can't do it. And so I'm not letting anybody set me up to make any resolution, make any commitment. But the third stage, I can't do it, but I must do it, and I'm going to trust God to do it.
I love that. Focus on, we're not in this alone. The Holy Spirit is who empowers us to pray. So excited about this book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life.
Let us send you a copy today by requesting this Bold Step gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps Weekend. Just call us at 866-535-5580 or give online and request the book How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life when you go to boldstepsweekend.org. Or send your donation and request for this Bold Step gift in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Now, you can also commit to giving a monthly gift online as a Bold partner. We've made signing up simple and easy. Just go to boldstepsweekend.org. Remember, it's through your generous financial gifts that these messages and resources are made possible, allowing us to offer Mark's teaching across the radio, the internet, and social media. And before we say goodbye, let me invite you to join us throughout the week over on our daily program, simply known as Bold Steps Radio. Hear Mark's insightful teaching all week long on your way to work or simply at home by listening through your local station for Bold Steps. Or hear it online by going to boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us next week when Mark explains how struggling with your faith can actually make it stronger. We're beginning a new study called Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt. So be sure to tune in next week to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.